answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Every single person out here, and I just, the candidacy has fallen. Okay, man, I know you're speaking from your heart. I'm worried about the president. We should pray for the president. I think his advisors, I think the White House, and I think his family have a lot of explaining to do to their party and to the American people.
And I fully agree with that assessment. And by the way, those remarks were made on CNN by Scott Jennings. He is one of those they bring in to show that, well, we have the other side represented as well. And Scott Jennings was saying, look, I think this was a disaster. He never should have been out there. You need to pray for the president and his health. But again, as he said, why do you insist on putting the man out there? Well, they are having a lot of second thoughts about that. And, of course, the questions are already surfacing. If you're going to replace Joe Biden at this point, how do you do it? Now, in the last hour, in case you missed it, we had John LaBoutière, former New York congressman. He is a never-Trumper, a Reaganite. And even after watching that episode last night, he still won't vote for Trump. But he did say Biden has to go. Biden cannot remain as their candidate. And John was basically saying, regardless of who they now come up with in place of him, that I'll vote for him because I don't want Trump. I hate Trump. And I asked John, I said, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? His answer was inconclusive, basically. And he finally said, I'm better off. Well, we didn't have enough time to get into more detail on it. We'll try to pick that up at another time. And I told the audience in the first hour, and if you missed it, I want to remind you, you can always pull up a podcast. I'm getting ready to tell you how. But I told the audience in the first hour, I never tell you what to do. I want you to do things on your own logic, your own critical thinking. But in this case, I said in the last hour, I'll repeat it again. I'm going to tell you how to vote. I'm going to tell you how to vote. I want to tell you who to vote for. And I expect you to do it. You vote for you and your family and this country. Whichever candidate you think fits that bill that helps you, your family, and this country, you're voting for you and your family and the country. I don't care which name you pick. If you think that's the one that's going to help you, your family, and your country, that's what I'm telling you to do. Vote for them. I have no doubt where many of you are going to vote. I have no doubt many Democrats are going to make the same decision as you. They are on the other side of the political aisle, but they're not so far extreme as sometimes they try to paint you. They're not so far extreme as to be in the squad left. They are just left. They're not even left of center. They are left of center, but they're not way the hell out there like the squad is. So again, vote for you. Glad to have you on board. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, as always, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. And I encourage you to do so. Watching it does add a whole new possibility to understanding what we're doing here. And it's engaging. It's not watching paint dry on the wall. I promise you that. But you go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. Or Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You know, the other day, often the News Talk STL Rumble outseeds our number, which is fine. We're all on the same team. We're all on the same boat rowing together. So as long as you're listening and pulling it up at whatever location, whatever podcast, from either News Talk STL or Larry Connors USA, I don't care. Just glad to have you on board. Spread the word. that I do ask you to do. If you listen at a later time, make sure you push share and also always push like, because that really messes up the algorithm of those who are trying to find a way to silence us. So if you miss any program, you want to go back and pull it up, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. The other day, as I said, our Larry Connors USA Facebook numbers were well above 400, and so were the numbers for News Talk STL Rumble for Larry Connors USA. So see, it doesn't make that much difference where you go. We want to make sure you have every opportunity, and we appreciate it. So despite some of the remarks, as we were sharing in the preceding hour, that are absolutely damaging to Trump, I mean to Biden, in so many ways, the New York Times, in a debate recap, their statement in large type, in debate, Biden struggles to fend off attacks from Trump. Struggles is a key word there. And a New York Times columnist, Thomas L. Friedman, he has a friendship with Joe Biden. And Thomas Friedman wrote an op-ed today that appeared in the New York Times. Friedman is age 70. Titled, President Biden is my friend. He must bow out of the race. And he wrote that, and I'm quoting, cannot remember a more heartbreaking moment in an American presidential campaign politic in my life. And then he wrote, Joe Biden, a good man and a good president, has no business running for re-election. And then this line, I watched the Biden-Trump debate and it made me weep. Well, I have to say, at the debate watch party last night at Johnny's Hideout, glad you came out. So many of you folks were amazing. I appreciate it. There was no weeping. There was a lot of yelling and hooting and of course, pointing out, did you see what Joe Biden did? He just froze up on the screen. He did. But when you got one of your closest friends, Thomas L. Friedman, saying, watching you on stage, you made me weep. And all the numbers that are coming in, even from CNN, they were doing a snapshot of voters, registered voters, during the debate. And debate watchers, this is again a CNN survey, found that 67% of those watching the debate believed Trump did better, 67%. 33% thought Biden did better. You got to be clueless. You got to be absolutely clueless. When all the other Democrats inside the party are suddenly concerned, and even his best friend says, you're making me cry because of your lack of ability, and I love you as a friend, but you need to get out of the way. You're going to be run over. You shouldn't be up there. Do you think he might listen? I know he's going to hear about and read that opinion column or have someone read it to him. That's from a dear friend. He may reach out and call him. He said, Thomas, what you said is hurtful. And if Thomas is going to be honest about it, say, Mr. President, what you did last night was hurtful to me and to our nation. So I bring you back to my point. I don't want to tell you who to vote for. Vote for you. Vote for you and your family and our nation, and you'll make the right choice. Even as you go through all these that are concerned, here comes Miss Happy Kamala saying, oh, no, no, it's still unicorns and roses and rainbows.
Listen, first of all, what we saw tonight is the president making a very clear contrast with Donald Trump on all of the issues that matter to the American people. Yes, there was a slow start, but it was a strong finish. And what became very clear through the course of the night is that Joe Biden is fighting on behalf of the American people. So I'm not going to spend all night with you talking about the last 90 minutes. Well, when I've been watching the last 3.5 years of performance.
But this was a debate that your campaign wanted. You pushed for this debate at this moment. You can't honestly say, can you say that you are not concerned at all having watched the president's performance tonight?
It was a slow start. That's obvious to everyone. I'm not going to debate that point. I'm talking about the choice in November. I'm talking about one of the most important elections in our collective lifetime. And do we want to look at what November will bring and go on a course for America that is about a destruction of democracy, electing a man who has said he'll be a dictator on day one? Or do we want to continue on a course that's about strengthening America's economy?
Well, if you're asking those questions, you're back to what I'm telling you and how you should vote. Vote for you and your family and your country. And that was not Joe Biden last night. And she said, I think you made it very clear. It's very strong. It came out stumbling. Many are saying in the first 7 minutes he was losing it. And I have to admit, when he first came out in the beginning, I'm thinking, and I turned to someone, I said, I don't know that he can make 90 minutes. Well, I guess we give him praise for being able to stand there for 90 minutes. You know, trying to stand 90 minutes, I've served some guard duty at various events when in the Marines, and for 1 hour, carrying just a rifle, not that much weight, but just trying to stand there at attention for an hour, just an hour, it's fatiguing. You get a break at every 15 minutes, but it's still... I was a young man then, 19, 20, 21, let me see whether I can do cyber, 40 years ago? Maybe a little longer. But it is, and he stood there. I was totally amazed. And I also brought up in the previous hour that it might be a conspiracy theory, but I think I know why they decided to choose. Do you want to decide where you are on the stage, or do you get the last word? You always want the last word, but they chose stage position. And if you didn't hear that remark from earlier, you need to pull that program up and listen to it. But despite all this hyper, aren't we great type thing you're hearing from Kamala, which, by the way, one thing you did make clear, The very idea. 27 times he used that remark. Joy Reid.
I, too, was on the phone throughout much of the debate with Obama world people, with Democrats, with people who are political operatives, with campaign operatives. My phone really never stopped buzzing throughout. And the universal reaction was somewhere approaching panic. The people who were texting with me were very concerned about President Biden seeming extremely feeble, seeming extremely weak. And, you know, I'll just reiterate what I said earlier. President Biden had one job tonight, and it was one primary job. And yes, it was to litigate Donald Trump's, you know, criminality and all of those things. But he had to settle his own party. Mm-hmm. He needed to settle Democrats. Democrats, you know, they always talk about Democrats are bedwetters and Democrats are always panicking. Yes, Democrats are always panicking. They're always scared, right? They're always thinking they're going to lose. Like, Democrats are very pessimistic. This is just
neurotic.
Who they are. They're neurotic.
They are neurotic. And then here, I want you to listen to a collection of sound bites, beginning with a CBS analyst and what they're hearing from other Democrats after watching that debate.
What are officials who hold office in the Democratic Party saying tonight about President Biden's performance?
There are at least some House Democrats who were gathered tonight watching this together talking to the White House about having him step down. That's how bad it was in their view.
Anderson, this was a game-changing debate in the sense that right now as we speak, there is a deep, a wide, and a very aggressive panic. It involves party strategists. It involves elected officials. It involves fundraisers. And they're having conversations about the president's performance, which they think was dismal, which they think will hurt other people down the party in the ticket. And they're having conversations about what they should do about it. So Some of those conversations include, should we go to the White House and ask the president to step aside? Other of the conversations are about, should prominent Democrats go public with that call? Because they feel this debate was so terrible.
It was a really disappointing debate performance from Joe Biden. I don't think there's any other way to slice it. His biggest issue that he had to prove to the American people was that he had the energy, had the stamina, and he didn't do that. And so I think that is of concern, and I think for a lot of Democrats that's very disappointing.
But our guy can't hit on the issues. He has one significant problem, his age, and tonight made it worse.
And who said that?
This was a senior Midwestern Democrat watching this tonight, like many Democrats, freaked out by the first 7 minutes.
What's you mean a senior like in age or someone who's an elected official?
Someone who works with elected officials and has worked on several Democratic campaigns. And this is widespread. Talking to Democrats tonight, they believe the first 7 minutes, probably the worst 7 minutes of the Biden presidency. But
worst 7 minutes of the Biden presidency. Once again, back to Joy Reid's assessment.
His job was to calm his party, to make them feel that, yes, I can do this. I have 4 more years in me. I have the ability and the stamina and the strength to do 4 more years. He did not do that. He did the opposite of that. He made them more panicked. Mm-hmm. The people who were texting me were even more panicked. They actually expected it to be better than it was, and now they're in I won't say a full-fledged panic, but it's getting there.
And are people that you're talking to are expressing these concerns, are these people who are involved in Democratic politics, or
yes,
are these liberals watching TV?
This is not liberals watching TV. These are campaign people. Mm-hmm. These are people who are either Democratic operatives. These are people who are former, you know, sort of Obama World Administration people. These are people who are in the business.
Okay.
So the civilians are also panicking. They're also texting me, but I was trying to kind of ignore the civilians and really talk to the campaign folks.
Yeah, but the civilians are the voters. And, of course, a lot of this Democrat panic relates directly to Biden's performance. Here's a classic example from last night.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do dealing with everything we have to do with, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare.
And boy, was he having a hard time getting even that part out. But then there was another piece he tried to answer a question, and it was absolutely confusing.
What's happened? I've changed it in a way that now you're in a situation where there are 40% fewer people coming across the border illegally. It's better than when he left office. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look.
No one knows what he was saying at that point because he's wrong on every point. We got a lot more to say about this, still to come before this hour is over. But I've got a guest coming up that has a book out talking about the untold story of the women of January 6th, a woman of January 6th, Ashley. You know, it's Ashley Bobbitt. He writes for numerous conservative outlets. I'm very interested in this latest article he wrote. Kamala Harris is January 6th's dog that didn't bark. We'll break it down for you. You don't want to miss this interview with Jack Cashel coming up. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 1-800-644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
My name is Todd Showalter, and I'm announcing the Right Mind Show is officially running Saturday nights at 5. I'll now open the floor for questions.
Is the Right Mind Show funny at all?
No comment. Next question. Yeah, you, different reporter with the same voice.
Your co-host is very cute.
Not a question. I've got time for one more.
Do you do any impressions on the Right Mind Show?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's Joe Biden getting out of bed.
The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Saturday afternoons at 5 on News Talk STL.
Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the district of Chesterfield Valley. Napoli has the only coal-fired pizza oven. That means an incredible taste you cannot get anywhere else. So enjoy a unique pizza at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district. And then walk a few doors down and enjoy premium cigars and drinks at Lit Cigar Lounge. There's a perfect way to end the evening. Napoli Pizza followed by Lit Cigar Lounge. A winning combination.
This is News Talk STL.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Jack Casho. He has a latest book out, Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6. He writes for numerous conservative outlets. But I want to focus on the latest article he had in American Greatness. I'll come back to that in a moment. But, Jack, first of all, welcome aboard.
Hey, Larry, thanks for having me. It's a big day for J6ers.
We'll get into that Supreme Court decision as well as we move through this. But first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask your opinion of the debate last night.
Well, you know, I was watching it with friends, and oddly, we didn't think Biden did that bad. I mean, he managed to stand on his feet for 90 minutes, you know.
So. Yeah, give him credit for that.
So our expectations were so low.
Right.
That he appeared to be as incompetent and as non-compos mentis as we imagined. The shock came to that half of America who'd been deceived into thinking he was okay, right?
Yeah.
So he was, he had some really stupid moments. We expected that. You know, some non-answers. I thought Trump handled himself beautifully. And all in all, one of my friends, a very nervous guy, after 5 minutes, I said, it's over. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, well, there was a piece that reported that it was over in the first 7 minutes. That was the worst 7 minutes in any presidential debate. New York Times headline that I got sent today, in debate, Biden struggles to fend off attacks from Trump. And a New York Times columnist who's a good friend of Biden wrote a piece saying, President Biden is my friend. He must bow out of the race. And then added, it made me weep.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I remember going there. I went to the 1985 World Series. The Kansas City Royals were playing. I live in Kansas City. And I think they scored 9 runs in the first inning in the 7th game. That's what it felt like last night.
You're not talking about the Cardinals, the Cardinals, Kansas. That call by the umpire. Yeah, wait. Oh, you did. Oh, you're off the air right now. And by the way, folks, he lives in Kansas City. Go ahead.
Yeah, St. Louis people, 39 years later, are still simmering about that.
Wait a minute. All right. Well, we're going to end this interview right now. We're done, Jack. All right. Let's go through. First of all, I want to get into the Supreme Court ruling affecting J6ers. How it's going to play out is still unclear. I'm hearing background noise. You need to turn down whatever source you're getting there. Okay. Now it's much better. All right. But I'm looking at the piece that you wrote just recently titled Kamala Harris is January 6th's dog that didn't bark. Explain. Right. Explain.
Well, you know, I was looking for a metaphor, and then I started looking around, and I found this
compared to story dog.
From, go ahead. Arthur Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes story, where he is investigating a stolen horse. And right. He asks the someone there, he says, what time did the dog start barking? And the guy says, well, the dog didn't bark. And that was the giveaway clue.
Uh-huh.
The dog didn't bark. In this case, the non-barking refers to Kamala Harris's unexpected and still unexplained presence at the DNC mm-hmm. at 1 p.m. on January 6th, the moment a bomb was reportedly found. And there's another bomb reportedly found at the RNC a few minutes earlier. And what we have not heard from Kamala Harris, not one word, nor from Joe Biden, is any sense of how close she was to being blown up by these terrible white supremacists. Not a word.
Yeah.
You know, given her penchant for self-dramatization, you think she'd be all over this, but she wasn't, hasn't.
You didn't hear it from her. You didn't hear from the security. In fact, Politico wrote, as you include in your article, that they were the first to report on Harris's whereabouts and saying her presence inside the building makes and raises sobering questions about security that day. Also, the chilling prospect, the riots could have been far more destructive because they want to go to the next level. But you're right.
Right.
She was right there. Security is with her. They didn't see and detect the bomb at any point right. after she left, and it was there all the time. And you're right. And she is the dog that didn't bark. So if the dog's not barking, right. they knew something was afoot.
Just like in the Sherlock Holmes story, the conclusion was that the dog knew the horse thief, right?
Right.
Now, in this case, the dog may not know the identity of that bomber, but she knows enough to know that they don't want to find them. They know that bomber is on their side, is an ally, is someone that they planted there
right.
to add to the drama. Now, what's even more shocking, Larry, is that for 1 year after this incident, no one knew that she was at the DNC. And the net result of that is that in all the court proceedings for the J6ers who were being arrested, the judges and the jurors were being told by the prosecutors that these people threatened the life of Kamala Harris, who was at the Capitol. She was the vice president-elect,
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't.
Yeah.
And so they had to amend all those proceedings to accommodate the fact that she wasn't there.
So let's jump.
Let's
jump to the January 6th ruling out of the Supreme Court today, and I just want to spend a bit of time on this because I want to get back into your actual article. But basically, for the audience, remind them it was a ruling today that reversed a lower court decision returned to the D.C. court, arguing the Justice Department was claiming that one of the J6ers, Joseph Fisher, he filed a suit against them among the 300 arrested, that the federal statute they used should not be applied against him. It had only been applied to evidence tampering cases. They were trying to argue, no, it still can be effective. And that's where Neil Gorsuch questioned, well, what do you do about Jamal Bowman pulling a fire alarm, diverting a House vote? Does that constitute obstruction? So,
yeah, and it was done, you know, out of the Enron case, the original law. And it really had to do with covering your tracks, you know, through paper trails and destruction of records and that sort of thing. And then to apply it to what happened on January 6th is to just invent the law. And 330 people were tried. It was a felony. And so it added years to people's sentences.
And some are yet to be tried, and more were at last report still being rounded up. This does not settle those cases immediately. We'll see where it goes. It takes time. Now, your latest book, Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th, give me a thumbnail sketch of that, and then I've got some questions I want to go into.
Sure. I wanted to tell the story of Ashley Babbitt, the woman who was shot and killed on January 6th.
The only one killed that day.
No, she wasn't.
She was the only one killed. There were others that died, but they weren't killed.
Well, no, one other woman was killed, and one male was arguably killed as well. One guy died of natural causes. Who was the other woman killed? Roseanne Boylan.
That's the one that got pushed down and couldn't get the air and was maybe trampled on a little bit. I'll allot that. All right, let's continue with Ashley.
Yeah, so Ashley, what I did then is I wanted to tell the story of why she went to Washington, what she experienced there, what happened as a result of her going there. And then to broaden the story, I mean, to give the story a little depth, because her life is not that well documented, I decided to expand it to a group of 10 women, one of whom is Roseanne Boylan, who also was killed that day, and 8 other women. And of the 10 women, I chose them almost randomly. Of the 10 women, 2 were killed. 6 have been to prison or are in prison, and 2 others await sentencing. One of the 2 who awaits sentencing is a great-grandmother. Of that 8 living women, 3 are affected by the Fisher decision. They're all charged with felonies for essentially just being in the Capitol that day.
So again, it's titled Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th. Question. She was shot by a Capitol Police member trying to climb through a window, the broken window, get into the chamber. If you were the guard on duty inside that chamber, and I know she's a military vet, I lost a good guest we used to have all the time, finally got him back, and he said he had no reason to shoot her. He could see her hands, but she was wearing a backpack. You cannot let someone inside. They had numerous times to stop before they got there. What would you have done with her coming through the window?
Well, you know, my father is a police officer, and my uncle, my cousins, so I sympathize with the police. But all he had to do was, I should say this, the other side, his side of the door was heavily barricaded. There were several other armed officers.
But the window was not. She's coming through the window.
Right.
And you got legislators inside there with you.
No, they're not. That was.
Some were still there.
They were gone.
Some were still there. Go ahead.
There were 5 Republicans 100 feet away.
So they're still there. Still there. Go ahead.
But they're not in the lobby with him. They're back on the House floor.
They're in the chamber. That's the point. They're in the chamber is where she's trying to get in. Look, do you have time to hold over for us to continue this conversation?
Yeah, sure.
All right, good, because I feel like I'm being short shrifting you if I continue down this. I'm trying to get everything in time. So we are going to have to take an information break, and we want to come back and pick this up. I want to hear more of your thoughts on this, because this is a key contest for many people. And time in the Marines, your father is in the law enforcement. My views of protecting the people around me might be different than the way you see it, and I want to go into that in a little bit more detail. We will continue with Jack Cashel, despite him being a Kansas City supporter and recalling that dreadful day for the Cardinals against him, when we continue, so don't go anywhere. Thanks, Jack. We'll be right back with you after this information segment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beale has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beale. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural. You must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you seen the 2024 Toyota RAV4? Boy, that's an outstanding vehicle, and Ackerman Toyota has one just for you at the best price. Ackerman is the number one volume Toyota dealer in the area. Want a Camry? Maybe you want something bigger. A Toyota crossover. All the performance of an SUV, but a more compact size. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Now, my guest we asked to hold over, and I appreciate him doing it. Jack Cashel, latest book, Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th. She was one of a dozen. Is that right, Jack, that you were doing a story on before everything went upside down? 10 out of 10. Okay. You chose them at random, so there was no predication of any type on it.
Other than the two women who died, those are the only two I chose.
And again, I want to emphasize. Yeah, now you said died then, and I want to emphasize. Often you'll hear people say all the people that were killed that day, and the only one that I count as killed would be Ashley when she was shot by Capitol Police. The question we were leaving. Go ahead.
I just say, let me tell you just 1 minute about Roseanne Boylan.
Sure, go ahead.
She got caught in a crowd surge that she didn't have no control over.
Right.
The police decide to push them back. She ends up on the bottom of a pile. People are pushed on top of her. That's okay, understandable. I don't hold the police accountable for that. But once the pile cleared, a policewoman came over to her with a branch in her hand and smashed her over the top of her head 3 times until the branch broke. She was probably still alive when that happened. That was a criminal act by that police officer.
I'll agree. I agree with that. I don't know that it caused her death. I don't know it caused her death, but...
I don't know that either.
Well, that's why I keep saying the difference between death and being killed. Ashley Babbitt was obviously killed, shot by a guard inside. My question to you is, if you were the guard inside and your job is to protect those members in Congress, you cannot let anyone, male, female, and there are only two genders to choose from, or anyone else come through a broken window into the chamber because you don't know what they've got with them. Do you agree?
Yeah, but no, I don't agree. If that had been, let's face it, if this had been a Minneapolis cop, a white Minneapolis cop shooting a black protester coming through a window, he'd be in prison with Derek Chauvin.
I'm not going to go down the racial debate issue. I'm talking about a matter of security. You're a security Capitol guard. Your job is to protect the Capitol and the members of Congress. And as you'd acknowledge, at least half a dozen Republicans were still in the chambers. You're not going to do – what are you going to do to stop a woman coming through – anyone coming through the window with a backpack at that point?
Well, if it's a 110-pound woman, you grab her.
You don't know what she's got in the back top. You know suicide vest. I know you're familiar with those stories and everything else.
Right.
You got to, if you're in that mold at that point, there have been numerous times where innocent children have been shot down in Afghanistan and other places like that because they appear to be carrying something bulky. and they weren't carrying a suicide vest. But other times, they were just a five-year-old. The vests have been put on. They know nothing, and they walk into a crowd, and it's detonated. Well, so you cannot let someone inside invade the chambers. You just can't do it.
Well, I would disagree with you on that, but that's I guess you have your opinion, I have mine.
Well, you're obviously entitled to your opinion, but my question still is, if you don't think you should have shot her, how are you going to stop her from coming into that window at that point?
Let me tell you about her motives, though. I think that clarifies it a little bit.
Sure.
She was, 14 years military police.
Yeah, I know.
And she gets there. Yeah, she's the first one in that group to get there.
So she should know that she's making her. If she were that guard, I think she would have done the same thing with 14 years military police.
Well, what she does is she goes up to the three cops who are guarding the door on her side, and she says, and once the crowd gets in there and they start causing a ruckus, she goes, "Do your effing job. Call for backup. Do something."
Right.
She's yelling at them. Then the crowd surges around her, and again, she's, if you're a 100-pounder, you're caught in a crowd of 200-pounders, you're at risk. Then she hears there's a gun. And she presumes the gun's on her side. She's trying to escape that. She jumps into that little window
space. No. Jack, I'm not going to buy that. I'm sorry. Are you saying she was trying to get in the chamber to get away from the crowd outside?
Yes. There's no other reason for her to do it.
Oh, you don't think?
No, I know.
Because how do you know? How do you know in her mind, I got to get inside there because there's not as much ruckus as there is out here?
Because there were witnesses who were with her.
There were witnesses on the inside seeing her come through the window. You don't know her mindset. You don't know her mindset. You don't know what her intent is, correct?
Well, I could tell you that my argument makes much more sense than that she was trying to lead an insurrection.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to disagree with the January 6th committee. Or fight over that, because I agree with you. That was a farce from the beginning, period.
Yeah.
But, Jack, I do appreciate it. I want to, again, share with the folks, again, the book, the latest is Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women on January 6th. Jack, I do appreciate you giving us some extra time.
No, Larry, and I appreciate your argument, too, because I like to get a little pushback every now and then. Sharpens my own.
We'll do it again. Just do not bring up that KC Orioles game, Royals game, against the Cards. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. You bet. Well, I do appreciate him taking extra time and hope it gave you a little bit more perception. We're obviously not going to agree on what took place at that point. You don't have to always agree with everyone. That's something we need to keep in mind. You can still disagree, have your own opinion. You don't have to submit to the other side. But at the same time, you've got to acknowledge that the reality is you're just not going to agree, but you don't have to become enemies. I want to share something from Politico reference to the what do we do about Biden under the situations that we're seeing right now. This is a piece in Politico and a column written by Jonathan Martin. The movement to convince Biden to not run is real. It's real. He begins, one House Democrat said he spoke for others in the wake of the president's stunning feeble debate performance on Thursday, and then said, in being quoted, "The movement to convince Biden to not run is real." Now, he adds in his article, this House member is an outspoken defender of the president and said that House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer should consider a combined effort to nudge President Biden out of the race. The article continues in Politico. Again, I always give you the source. Politico is a left-leaning source. They sometimes do very good, straight, accurate reporting. Looking at this, it looks to be accurate reporting, and it's not good for the Democrats. And continues, crestfallen by the president's weak voice, pallid appearance, meandering answers, numerous Democrat officials said Biden's bet on an early debate to rebut increasing questions about his age had not only backfired but done damage that may prove to be irreversible. The president had, in the first 30 minutes of that debate, fully affirmed doubts about his fitness. A second House Democrat said reflection is needed from Biden about the way ahead, and indicated the private text threads among lawmakers were even more dire, with some saying outright the president needed to drop out of the race. A Democrat lobbyist close to many party leaders also brought up the names of Jeffries and Schumer, stating, will they do something, or I should say asking, will they do something, before noting, hopefully, that Jeffries and former President Barack Obama are holding a fundraiser for House Democrats in New York today. So maybe they'll try to make something happen then. Well, against that backdrop, this report pops up, direct from CNNNN. An advisor telling CNNNN today, President Biden will not drop out of the 2024 presidential race. He will participate in the second debate in September. That is, of course, scheduled September 10 on ABC. Of course, more details of that event, including rules, location, staging, format, are yet to be decided. And pressure is mounting on Biden to step down, as many Democrats and many media members display hysteria following a disastrous Thursday debate. Now, take note again of the date. That debate, second debate, will be September 10. The Democrat convention in Chicago is in August. If they don't work a deal for him to step aside, and all those delegates pledged to him, vote him to go forward, he would still be carrying the banner. He would be the one in that debate September 10. It's to be between the Republican and Democrat contender. But it may not be Biden. Or then again, it might. You start looking at this and you break it down and you watch the reaction from last night, and if you watch the debate at all, there were times, I heard one person use the term, Joe looks creepy. I mean, he was just smiling in such a way that just disturbed some people. Now, picking up on facial tics and things like that, I'm not big on trying to necessarily say that that's an indicator of anything, but I'd also noted a couple times where Trump would say something and Biden looked absolutely stunned, like he'd been hit in the face with a brick. And I still question that debate prep as to what they were doing and why they chose stage position as to having the last word in the debate. I mentioned that in more detail in the previous hour. Don't have time to get into it now, but we'll have to see with the rules coming up between ABC and, I guess, with both parties. Basically, CNN was doing whatever Biden wanted and the Democrats. Well, despite all the negative reaction from Democrats about Biden's performance, he still has full support of, I assume, the most and the closest inside the White House. That includes the First Lady and his Vice President. You heard her earlier, but you deserve to hear both again.
Listen, first of all, what we saw tonight is the president making a very clear contrast with Donald Trump on all of the issues that matter to the American people. Yes, there was a slow start, but it was a strong finish. And what became very clear through the course of the night is that Joe Biden is fighting on behalf of the American. So I'm not going to spend all night with you talking about the last 90 minutes when I've been watching the last 3.5 years of performance.
But this was a debate that your campaign wanted. You pushed for this debate at this moment. You can't honestly say, I mean, can you say that you are not concerned at all having watched the president's performance tonight?
It was a slow start. That's obvious to everyone. I'm not going to debate that point. I'm talking about the choice in November. I'm talking about one of the most important elections in our collective lifetime. And do we want to look at what November will bring and go on a course for America that is about a destruction of democracy, electing a man who has said he'll be a dictator on day one? Or do we want to continue on a course that's about strengthening America's economy?
every time they rehash things, like Trump said he's going to be a dictator on day one. He did say that, but they will not put it in context. I'm going to be a dictator on day one. I'm going to use executive privilege, just like, and the pen, as Biden did, to wipe out all my orders. I'm going to wipe out all of his. Close the border, restart the Keystone Pipeline, open up oil and gas for our nation so we can be energy independent, as we were when he left office. And he said, beyond that, we're back to business as normal. And the same thing happened last night. They brought up the Charlottesville rally, and Biden was quoting him, you got Nazis marching through the streets, waving torches. This is the kind of man you want to do that? When asked about, what do you think about these people? He said, these are fine people. That is not in context again. The argument and debate going on in Charlottesville at that point was taking down Civil War statues. You had those who said they should come down and rallying around it, and others saying, no, they shouldn't. Both are entitled to opinion. They did not come to battle. They were just voicing their opinion. But then you had the Black Lives Matter group and others come together and decide to make a big issue out of it, and then you got the white Nazi Hitler types come together. He was not talking about those people being nice people. He's saying those who have a disagreement about the statue, they're good people on both sides. You'll never get that from the left. But I think if you remember that Dr. Jill Biden is a doctorate in education, means a teacher. And I think that despite everything else we're hearing and how bad Joe Biden was, despite all of that and the fact that she had to lead him off the stage two steps to make sure he didn't fall and shepherd him off the area, despite all that, I think Joe Biden did earn a gold star.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do? Lie! Yes.
So he gets a gold star. And yes, she's just like a teacher to the student. You did a great job. You got great. I mean, you colored inside the lines. You did so good. I'm so proud of you. Here, we're going to give you a gold star, and I'm going to bring you an extra ice cream cone. That's what you deserve, Joe, because you did that well. Meanwhile, those inside his own party say that was a train wreck, a hot burning mess, a dumpster fire. Nothing good to see here. Please keep moving. Please, please keep moving on. Will Joe Biden come out of the Democrat convention still the leader of the party? Will he actually be on the stage for that second debate or another Democrat? We'll stay right on top of it for you. You keep listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.